This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter at American Greatness, commenting on the challenge in Europe here with months to go to the election, NATO and Ukraine and Kyiv. The NATO meeting in Washington in July is said to be a big powwow about what comes next, including a new Secretary General. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. NATO versus Moscow, NATO supporting Kyiv versus Moscow. Are these profound distinctions? Because from the Moscow point of view, this is a war with NATO, not with Ukraine. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. I was trying to divine some of the hairline fissures that we're seeing within NATO itself in dealing with the Ukraine crisis. And I want to say up front, obviously, I oppose the Russian aggression and the illegal occupation of Ukraine, and I wish that Mr. Putin could be beaten back into the hole from which he crawled out of. But that does not seem to be the case. So in addressing Ukraine, we're starting to see fissures within the unified front that NATO was presenting. And one of the issues that I wrote about this week was the potential for Ukraine membership within NATO itself. Now, John, given your podcast with other individuals and so forth, just leave it by putting on the table the fact that if somebody joins NATO, you've got Article 5, which means an attack on one is an attack on all. If Ukraine joins the NATO membership, that would be in an ongoing conflict. That would be an attack on one occurring, which would render the potential triggering of Article 5 an attack on all. So you've seen division within NATO about how far do they want to go with Ukraine membership. Do they want to put it on a fast track? Do they want to delay it? Do they want to prevent it altogether? And this is the type of issue that is currently being papered over, but it could very well come to a head should we get to Washington in July.
Yes, the head, though, because this is so clearly wrapped up in the American presidential election, how do you measure this recent remark that they're going to permit long-range strikes into Russia? Is that a risky campaign strategy? Is that separate from the campaign thinking?
This was the second question that I was going to address, and I will address to some extent next week. But events, as Harold Macmillan have talked about, have overtaken me. This is a very, very important decision that the U.S. has changed its position, and despite the fact that they want to act lawyerly about it by saying it's only some weapons that can be used to kill Russian troops inside Russia, make no mistake that this is a bright red line for Mr. Putin. And I am very, very worried about the consequences that may ensue. John, if you just looked at it from the Russian perspective, put yourself in a position where Canada has invaded the United States. We're trying to defend ourselves, and you're watching Russians giving arms to the Canadians, and the Canadians are firing those into the United States to kill American troops. I think that the public here would be outraged, wouldn't they? They'd be demanding retaliation against Russia for providing those arms and allowing them to be used to kill Americans inside America.
Correct.
Well, look what's happening in Russia. America is now allowing its weapons to be used by Ukrainians to kill Russians in Russia. And Mr. Putin, his Secretary of Defense, Minister Medvedev, and others have made it very clear that they are going to have, there's going to be serious consequences for this. And the thing that I like to remind people is you're dealing with people that have not ruled out the use of nuclear weapons, and we're not dealing with stable individuals. Clearly, they've invaded other nations three times, at least in the last couple decades. So we should not just say that they're bluffing. It's not a calculated risk that I think that the West should take. We should defend Ukraine to the best of our abilities, but then we should certainly do everything we can to avoid the wider war. And also point out, John, let's just say that, have you seen anybody seriously addressing what would happen if we lose in Ukraine, let alone what will happen over the next generations in terms of Western and Russian relations? Have we just cemented Russia within the bloc with China and North Korea and Iran and the new Cold War? redone damage that will ensure that will continue for generations to come? Or are we even risking in the short term the potential tactical nuclear exchange? I don't think these types of deep questioning is occurring because, in fact, John, as you point out, the election is we're just witnessing the Biden administration, one of the most feckless and reckless and disastrous foreign policy administrations in memory. These individuals are talking tough about Ukraine and firing missiles into Russia because all they care about is this coming election. They don't care about anything else. I would think that the risk of a nuclear war is something you might want to care about regardless of an election, but I could be wrong.
We mentioned the election because there were events over these last days that are said to be influential in the election. That would be the conviction of former President Trump for crimes that I cannot easily summarize, and I have permission of Richard Epstein, an esteemed law professor, to avoid summarizing them because he says not even he can. It's not clear there's a crime here, but there was a conviction, and the conviction is said to be part of the thinking of the Democratic campaign leadership, that this was something that was going to be useful to the Biden campaign. Is it useful in your measure?
It was a political show trial. The Democrats went to a deep blue state with a deep blue prosecutor, and they came up with a deep blue talking point against the Republican presidential nominee. It's a bifurcation of the justice system. It's rendering our justice system partial on a political basis. It's everything we're supposed to be fighting against. Ask yourself a very simple question, John. The Democrats, when they talk about our democracy, translation, really their party, they said that Donald Trump is going to end elections as we know it. And yet, this is the same Democratic Party that just put the presumptive Republican nominee in prison. So ask yourself, how serious are these people? Because given their engagement in this travesty and miscarriage of justice, these are seriously unserious people, John, and they're doing grave damage to the Republic.
The sentencing is July 11th. Their headlines now include the possibility of jail time or sentencing, or I don't know, it's all very confused. Is this going to be something we see consistent throughout these last months of the campaign, returning again and again to this trial, or does it go away with last week's news?
Well, they have to do this, John, because one of the reasons they have to do this is the fact that Joe Biden is a cognitively impaired president that isn't fit to dog sit, let alone be the leader of the free world. There's also the question of the continuing probe of the corruption of the Biden family. Has the Biden family received money from America's enemies? Does it translate into tit for tat regarding some of the horrendous policies in which this administration's engaged? So they have to keep the eye and the onus on Donald Trump defending himself to try to distract from this. I don't think it'll work. The American people know this has been a disastrous administration, both in domestic and foreign policy. Nothing, all they have to offer the American electorate after 4 years is a handful of hate and some handouts. And I don't think the American people are going to fall for it. I think they're going to reject it. And I think they're going to reject the Biden administration and any Democrat that wants to politicize our justice system for partisan gain. Look, it's still a free republic, and I trust the judgment of the American people.
That is McCotter, American Greatness. We look forward to part two of Events Are in the Saddle in Ukraine, NATO, and the United States. I'm John Batchelor.